I introduced in the first session as we were winding down a few points there toward the end that really introduced us to another level of our discussion here about taking the complex to the simple and then back to the complex and then ending up at the simple. We noted that faith amounts to positive volition toward a meritorious object, and that turns out to be a divine promise. The promise fires doctrinal memory traces which provide temporary tranquility of soul. The tranquility of soul is prolonged as you then move into the doctrinal rationale. For example, the promise is associated with wheel tracks containing data on divine essence, and specifically veracity. God's promise is absolute truth and can be trusted. Thus, you have a promise which associates with wheel tracks from the doctrine of divine essence, which produces a temporary condition of confidence in God. Now, that is the thing that I want you to think about, is that there is a process here of going from the complex to the simple. The claiming of the promise is very, very simple. You don't consider any of the outside adversities. That is something you must temporarily forget. What you must concentrate your conscious mind on is the promise, the source of the promise, and then projecting faith in that promise. That is very, very simple. God loves you. He will take care of you. That we teach that to the children. That's not a bad place for adults to start out as they seek to orient and adjust to an outside adversity. Now, the example that we're using with the Jews is as they stand there, boxed in, at Little Bitter Lake, the mountain ranges around them, the desert, and of course Pharaoh's army. We're using as their promise to claim Exodus 3:12, actually the last half of that verse, where the Lord says, "When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain." And that mountain was Mount Sinai. Now, in order to claim a promise, you also must link up with certain things. The most obvious one is the essence of God. You know a lot about that. And the thing that gives you confidence in the promise is knowing who made the promise. And then a little something about that person. Is this a person toward whom I can cast my faith and therefore have any reasonable hope of it actually coming to pass? And so the essence of God rationale, and we are emphasizing veracity, although Arnton Gingrich, you recall, brings in a few more characteristics of divine essence, like omnipotence, omnipresence, and eternal life. But the statement that the Jew could have made at this point in their reorientation, God tells the truth, therefore we will somehow worship him at Mount Sinai. That would have been the thing that the Spirit-filled Jew would have thought as he related the promise to the essence of God. We resume now at point 22. Confidence in the fact that you are the recipient of this promise is sustained by associating with the doctrine of eternal security. Confidence in the fact that you are the recipient of this promise is sustained by associating with the doctrine of eternal security. Now, we've done an old visual that we studied back in the theology of neurology. If I can get it all on here. The stream of consciousness is what controls and manages the brain as far as recall of stored data is concerned, and that is the cerebral cortex. And when these Jews stand there and look back over their shoulder, they have both an audible and visual set of vectors that come in. They see Pharaoh's army. And, of course, we have described how that goes back into the visual cortex of the brain, and Wernicke's area processes what they see, makes sense out of it, and then they're able to even make a comment in the auditory area and formulate a sentence. And the sentence says it's all Moses' fault, or some comment like that. And they also can hear the roar coming across that desert of this huge army, the horses, the cannons, all of this artillery that's being rolled in on wagons. And they hear it, and they see it, and they come to conclusions here and begin to speak. That's what they did. What we're discussing is what they ought to have done. And the first thing that this vector of Pharaoh's army's advance, this visual and audible vector, should have first of all inspired the firing of a wheel track, a promise. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12b. That's the first thing that they need to flash up in their conscious mind. We're going to worship God at Mount Sinai. He promised us that. From that, you begin to link up associations. And then the second wheel track we have noted here is the essence of God rationale, emphasis on veracity. But within the context of this wheel track, we have quite a bit of information related to the essence of God in 10 categories. And all of this comes up in the conscious mind. All that you need, you remember from that particular doctrine that's stored in your soul. And so the promise links here and forms an association with the essence of God rationale. So point 22, confidence in the fact that you are the recipient of this promise is sustained by associating with the doctrine of eternal security. And eternal security, therefore, is brought into the conscious mind, and the promise, the doctrine of the essence of God, they link up with eternal security. And now we've got a small constellation developed. This, as you recall, is a neurological term which has to do with several areas of the brain functioning simultaneously. Quite a number of memory traces are associated and are cooperating through synaptic connection. So we've linked a promise with the essence of God rationale and that with the eternal security rationale. And the essence of God gives us confidence in God that He will sustain the promise. But under pressure, we need to be able to sustain that confidence, and eternal security is what does that. Now, therefore, here is what the Jew that was filled with the Holy Spirit might have said. I have expressed faith alone in Yahweh Elohim alone for salvation. In other words, they're confident that they've been saved. This was exhibited at Ramses when they went through the first Passover. They believed in all of the doctrines associated with that, and it spared their firstborn. So we have a group of people who are believers, and they reflect back upon their status. He, Yahweh Elohim, has saved my soul in the past with the result that I stand saved forever. I am in His perfect plan and therefore His perfect care. Therefore, as a believer with eternal security, I may claim this promise and have faith in God's faithfulness to bring it to pass. I am qualified to claim the promise. Understand, unbelievers can't claim promises. They're not designed for the unbeliever. The only promise for the unbeliever is if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And there's a condition there, will you believe? And so we have here the association of several things coming into the conscious mind. I have expressed faith alone in Yahweh Elohim alone. I've done that. I am a believer. And I have confidence in the God who saved me, and I can sustain that because I will never lose that salvation. I've just been fearful. I have not really paid attention to Moses. I have been way out in left field, but nevertheless, no matter what, I am still in God's plan. And that is the thing that sustains your confidence, the fact that you can't lose your salvation. He's not going to get mad at you and kick you out of the plan. And so eternal security sustains your confidence. Therefore, as a believer with eternal security, I may claim this promise. And I may have faith in God's faithfulness to bring it to pass. Point 23. This association then links up with wheel track from the doctrine of the plan of God. And you please remember we noted in our brief review of that an emphasis on the divine decrees and the five printouts of the computer divine decrees. God knew of this in eternity past, that foreknowledge. Now the Jews were an elect nation, but they were not an elect people. The Jews are God's chosen people. They were the chosen people for the client nation. You are individually elected and predestined in the plan of God. We'll get into more of that later. The idea here is is that the Jew could relate to the fact that he was in the plan of God, that God foreknew them, and they knew him individually. God foreknew me. He knew that I would believe, and I am in his plan. This is something that they could very confidently have rationalized from the doctrinal knowledge they possessed. I was in the plan in eternity past. He knew of this problem then and has provided a solution in time. No matter what problem you face, you may be confident that if you're in the plan of God, and you are through faith in Christ, then no matter what you face, God has a solution, and it's found in the Word of God. Therefore, he provides a solution from his knowledge of this problem. As a believer, God has a purpose for my life, and right now, part of that plan is to get me to Mount Sinai. I am in the plan, and he's told Moses, I will worship him at Sinai. My plan, God's plan for my life, includes me not being here and murdered by Pharaoh, not being here and taken back into slavery by Pharaoh. It includes me getting to Sinai somehow. I believe that. I'm going to worship him there once I arrive. And that's what the positive Jew would have said in his plan of God rationale. I was in the plan of God in eternity past. He knew of this problem then and has provided a solution in time. As a believer, God has a purpose for my life, and right now part of that plan is to get me to Mount Sinai so that I may worship him there. So we have an association that links up with wheel tracks and the doctrine of the plan of God, emphasis on the divine decree. Point 24. And of course, you can see the plan of God rationale here. This is where it begins and fires down through here. And it contains all this information on for you on predestination, election, foreknowledge, justification, glorification. All of that you know. And when you think plan of God, all of these things are pertinent to you and is a part of your rationalizing outside adversity. Point 24. Confidence that you will get to Mount Sinai to worship him gives you courage to face Pharaoh's advancing army. You have to have confidence you're going to get to Santa Fe, or at least to the Cimarron River. Take it one step at a time, I guess you should. You're going to get to the Cimarron. You're convinced of it. This world is designed to kill me, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I am going to depend on God. I'm going to have faith in God that he's put me in this geographic situation, and I will survive this. He's put me into this particular set of circumstances. I will survive this. He has placed me in this particular position of authority for which I am not qualified. I will get qualified and I will survive. No matter where you are, no matter what the problem is, the Word of God will lead you through. You may think you're in a hornada, and you may well be, but logistics continues to flow. He will keep you alive until it's the day for him to take you home. The one thing this world cannot do is kill you ahead of God's schedule. It kills you right at the moment he wants you to die, not before, not after, by the way, but right then. And as long as you're alive, God has a purpose for your life. As long as you're alive, you're in the plan. As long as you're alive, he has the responsibility to keep you alive. So you keep moving. And you don't look over your shoulder. You don't worry about Pharaoh's army or what could have been or what I might have done. You look at tomorrow. You look at keep moving. That's what you look at. And therefore, 24, confidence that you will get to Mount Sinai to worship him gives you courage to face Pharaoh's advancing army. Please note that I've got logistical grace up here in this little small one, but it really ought to be a big one, but I didn't have room. So look here. We fired a promise. That's simple. And then we start getting complex. This promise fires up the essence of God's rationale, and we work a little while in that and get a little confidence in God. Yeah, God can back this deal here. And then you sustain that with eternal security. I'm still a believer no matter what. I'm in the plan. And that fires the plan of God rationale. And you work through that. And you say, well, if I'm in the plan, he's got to keep me alive to do my duty. And logistical grace fires into the conscious mind. And this whole business here forms a huge constellation. Now, I couldn't draw this, obviously, the way it looks in your brain because we couldn't see the words I've written here. But the dendrites that come out from every one of these neurons, and I may have 6 or 8 per wheel track, and they're really 6 or 8 billion per wheel track. And each one of these has trillions of dendritic synaptic connections, and then they run out and interlock with all of the rest of this, creating this huge constellation in your brain telling you, I am going to stand fast and watch the deliverance of the Lord here today. And that's the doctrinal conclusion that all of this links up with. And I tried to show that in one way. The promise links up with the conclusion. Essence of God links with the conclusion. Eternal security links up. Plan of God links up. Logistical grace links up. And the doctrinal conclusion you come to at the end, which is very, very simple. I'm just going to stand here, and I'm going to watch the deliverance of the Lord. That's simple. And we've gone from the complex Pharaoh's army to the simple, a simple promise, to the complex, the development of a constellation of doctrinal rationales, to the simple conclusion, God is going to deliver me here today. So 25, this courage to face Pharaoh's advancing army is sustained by yet another association, this time with wheel tracks from the doctrine of logistical grace. We've linked them all up. Now this I have shown you here on this particular diagram is precisely how you think through a situation in your stream of consciousness. If you've got this doctrine in your stream of consciousness, you can use that. And there's nothing I've said to you here this morning that you haven't done. We've just tried to organize this thing for you. You know all of this information. And guess what? It is available for recall under the power of the Spirit on a moment's notice. Why is that true? Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Our soul is inseparably united with our body until physical death. And God has designed us such that he has given us a hard disk whereby we can remember all of this information when we need it, but our conscious mind can't keep everything we know up on the screen all the time, all day. We only put there what's needed for the moment. And the Holy Spirit's job is to go down there and access it. I will bring to your remembrance all those things that you need to know. You know that promise, don't you? And we've studied it. And therefore, he recalls under the recall ministry of the Spirit, under this circumstance, he will fire the memory trace for the necessary promises, and then it will begin to link into a constellation where you can see the whole issue before your eyes as God's problem. And then once you get that huge, complex constellation with trillions of synaptic connections firing in your conscious mind, you get down to a very simple conclusion. I'm going to stand fast and watch the deliverance of the Lord here today. Well, here's what that Jew might think once he reaches that conclusion. God has promised. See, that goes back to the first firing of the wheel truck. God has promised that I shall worship him at Mount Sinai as a part of his perfect plan for my life. As a believer who has eternal security, I qualify to claim that promise and may trust in his veracity to back it up. If all these things are true, and they are, then it logically follows that he must keep me alive, logistical grace support, and therefore will somehow deliver me from Pharaoh. I don't know how. I don't really think there's anything left to do, but I know God in his heaven has a solution. I believe that. Plan of God rationale. And so what am I going to do? There's nothing I can do. I am hopeless and helpless. The only thing that can happen here is the grace of God. And so you stand fast. He must keep me alive, and therefore will somehow deliver me from Pharaoh. Therefore, conclusion, I will be courageous. I will submit to Moses' leadership. I will keep the faith, and I will stand fast and watch the deliverance of the Lord here today. And that is the conclusion you come to, and it's really quite simple. But you have to know your doctrine to get there. And when you head to Santa Fe, you check out of Kansas City, you better be taking something with you in your soul. And these Jews checked out of Ramses, and there wasn't much there. And they got down a little bit of late. They haven't even left Egypt yet. See, they're still roaming around in Syria and Kansas City. They haven't even left Egypt yet. And they've got these problems. And I'm telling you, they go through the sequence that I have just evaluated for you. One that you already know. All I've done is organize it for you. They can work through this problem. So point 25. Consequently, the faith rest drill is concentration under pressure, which transforms the complex to the simple, and then converts the simple back to the complex. You can't get from complex A to complex B unless you get simple. Complex A is too complex. So let's note this. I've got the constellation on the board. You understand it. Let's analyze what we've done again from another angle. Point one, under 25. The Holy Spirit uses the crisis as a vector. You wouldn't even think about claiming a promise unless you had a problem. That's why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not going to, as you filled with Him, of course, He is not going to prevent you from having problems. The world is designed to kill you. So, when the problem arises, He goes into action in the field of problem solving. And the first thing He does with you is He gets you simplified. He reminds you of a promise pertinent to the complex situation you face. So the Holy Spirit uses the crisis as a vector to recall a promise which relates to the problem. How many promises do you know? You couldn't know 7,000. Which one applies to this? Holy Spirit's job. He comes up with it. Number two, the promise establishes a temporary tranquility of soul so that the believer can concentrate on the doctrine he knows. But I guarantee you, if all you do is claim the promise, the tranquility of soul is only temporary. You know why? Because the complex situation has not gone away. So if all you do is claim the promise and leave it there, and there's no further concentration on doctrine, then the ever-present of that complex problem will override the simple promise eventually. You'll go back to human viewpoint concentration and human viewpoint solution. And so the promise establishes a temporary tranquility of soul so that the believer can concentrate on the doctrine he knows. And we're using Exodus 3:12b as our applicable promise for these Jews. Point three. The content of that promise enables the Holy Spirit to link up an association with the doctrine of divine essence. It is the doctrine of divine essence that builds up confidence in God to handle the problem. You can't have confidence in just anything or anybody. Faith requires, in order to have confidence, faith requires that the object be great. Greater than all your needs. God is greater than all our needs. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. God must be greater in character. He must be greater in quality than any other force that might be present in your situation. The most powerful force in this world, which is designed to kill you, is Satan himself. He is the most powerful force. And you've been given a promise. Listen to it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Therefore, there is no power this world can bring to your attention that is greater than your ability to solve it through God's system. But you have to have faith in the system. Stay with the system. Keep casting faith. Keep staying with the system, and you're going to catch a fish before the day's over. So the content of that promise enables the Holy Spirit to link up an association with the doctrine of divine essence. This doctrine builds your confidence in God to handle the problem. Four. Now we need to sustain the confidence. The promise gave us tranquility. Then we go into the essence of God rationale, and we're able to build a little confidence. And so we have tranquility, we have confidence, now we need to sustain the confidence. That confidence is sustained by yet another association, this one with the doctrine of eternal security. You might say, I am always saved, therefore I always have access to divine essence. I have the promise, it is backed by His essence, I have eternal security, I always qualify to claim this promise and to appeal to the essence of God. Now you've sustained your confidence in that. You know He has the power, the wherewithal, the veracity. You're always plugged into that system. You can't get out of it. You can't get away from it. God will not let you go. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Point five. The Holy Spirit must now relate the problem to God's sovereignty. We've related it to His essence. And sovereignty is a part of that essence, but sovereignty is the divine authority of the universe. No one supersedes Him. And so we're going to associate the problem with the sovereignty of God. Thus, He associates all this that we've noted so far with wheel tracks from the doctrine of the plan of God. You're in the sovereign plan of God. You might therefore think He has a purpose for my life. He wants me to worship Him at Mount Sinai, thus I can be courageous in the face of this problem. He says I'm going to worship Him at Sinai. That's the promise. I have faith in that promise because of who and what God is. I can sustain that confidence because I am in a system out of which I cannot go. God's always going to be with me. Now I'm moving into His sovereignty, which says I am in His plan, and the plan says I go to Sinai. That's the purpose for my life, plan of God rationale. Point six. The Holy Spirit sustains that courage by associating wheel tracks from the plan of God with the doctrine of logistical grace. If I'm going to get to Sinai, if that's part of my plan, then the world not going to kill me today. Not going to kill me today. I will survive. God take care of it. God will take care of me. And therefore He might say, if it's God's plan for me to worship Him at Mount Sinai, then He must keep me alive in order to do so. Therefore am I any longer afraid of Pharaoh? I am not. I will stand fast. Point 26, all these wheel tracks interlocking among four major doctrines form a huge constellation within the neural network, and it's all managed by the Holy Spirit. We studied 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which gives us the doctrine of the grace apparatus for perception. We studied Romans chapter 7, which shows us the process and procedure of going from fear, a wheel track of wickedness, to confidence, a wheel track of righteousness. We saw the mechanics of that in Romans 7. We know how all of this works. Now you can use it. You have a sequence of events, a concentration format, whereby you can solve your problems. There's no reason to be afraid. Not in the plan of God. He keeps you alive. He is guaranteed to do this. He's got a mission. You are to make it to Santa Fe. You are to have experiential sanctification. You are to glorify Jesus Christ in your life, and you are to magnify His Word along the way. You are to use the Word of God to solve your problems, and God says, I will do it. If you will cast your faith in my Word, I will back it. And I have veracity, and I have omnipotence, and I will do it. All I'm asking for you is to cast your faith in the Word. Nothing else. Not yourself, not your talent and ability, not the fact that you sweat a lot over the details. Just take the complex, reduce it to the simple, concentrate on the doctrines you know, and get down to a conclusion that lets me take care of it. And all of that alleviates the fear. All these wheel tracks interlocking among four major doctrines form a huge constellation within the neural network managed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that from the stream of consciousness. He is operating in your soul. The computer is the stream of consciousness. The hard disk is your brain. He manages it under the filling ministry. He recalls what you need to know. He helps you. All of this is very, very complex. This is complex. We've gone from a complex set of problems and reduced them down to a very simple promise. God promised me I would worship Him at Mount Sinai, Exodus 3:12b. He promised me that. It's very simple. 28. From that, we developed a very complex constellation made up of four associated doctrines. From the promise, we developed a very complex constellation made up of four associated doctrines, which brings us once again to something very simple. We reach the logical conclusion that I will stand fast and watch the deliverance of the Lord here today. And that's what Moses tells them to do in verse 13. That's what they should have concluded there. And by the way, what we've examined here, the Jews didn't do what Moses did do. Moses did this. 29. Let's note the sequence of what we've noted here in the form of anatoplosis. Here's an anatoplosis for you. By the way, an anatoplosis is a form of writing where you end one sentence with a phrase and then begin the next sentence with that same phrase. That's not too hard, is it? Here we go. We go from a complex catastrophe and crisis to simple orientation and adjustment. You orient and adjust with a promise. So we go from a complex catastrophe and crisis to simple orientation and adjustment. That's going from the complex to the simple. From simple orientation and adjustment to a complex problem-solving process and procedure. From a simple orientation and adjustment to a complex problem-solving process and procedure. From a complex problem-solving process and procedure to a simple logical conclusion. And you have to be able to think to do this. And fear, therefore, won't permit it. You have to get rid of it to get simple. The simplicity of the promise removes the fear. You have tranquility of soul for a moment. You concentrate on the doctrine that the Holy Spirit leads you to. If you're going to claim a promise, you must have confidence in the one who makes it, and that leads you to the essence of God right now. If you're going to sustain that confidence, you have to always be secure that you're within the system that permits this to be available to you. That's eternal security. Eternal security is going to link you with the sovereignty of God, which says He has a plan for your life. If He has a plan for your life, then He must keep you alive. That's a huge constellation, and from that you can reach the conclusion, which is very, very simple. I'm going to survive this. I am going to live through this tornado. Subpoint 1 under point 29. The catastrophe and crisis is a set of very complex outside adversities. We've noted the set of outside adversities having to do with Pharaoh's side of the ledger as well as the Jews. And it's complex. The catastrophe and crisis is a set of very complex outside adversities. 2. The orientation and adjustment is the recall of a simple wheel track containing a promise pertinent to the situation. Remember, claiming the promise gives you temporary tranquility of soul. That's orientation and adjustment. The orientation and adjustment is the recall of a simple wheel track containing a promise pertinent to the situation. 3, the problem-solving process and procedure involves the development of a complex constellation of doctrinal rationales. The problem-solving process and procedure involves the development of a complex constellation of doctrinal rationales. We break this down into 2 subcategories. A, tranquility of soul from claiming a promise. Tranquility of soul from claiming a promise, plus faith in God's veracity, plus an eternal relationship with God's essence, produces sustained confidence that God will do that which he has promised. Repeat. Tranquility of soul from claiming a promise, plus faith in God's veracity, plus an eternal relationship with God's essence, produces sustained confidence that God will do that which he has promised. And so we can have this equation. P plus EG slash R plus ES slash R equals SC slash G. A promise plus the essence of God rationale plus the eternal security rationale equals sustained confidence in God. That's how you get it. That's how you sustain your confidence. Now, if you don't know God, then you're not going to get this to work for you. It would go all the way back to the basics. Who is God? Does God exist? If God exists, then he must have the following characteristics. Boom, there are 10 of them. We noted them briefly the other day. Now, after you get your confidence sustained, then you automatically move in to the area of building your courage. Sustained confidence in God. This is sub B. Sustained confidence in God plus confidence that you are in God's perfect plan plus the guaranteed provision of life support produces a sustained courage toward life and circumstances. Again, sustained confidence in God. We got that in the first equation. So let's put it back up here. Sustained confidence in God, plus confidence that you are in God's perfect plan, plus the guaranteed provision of life support. Guaranteed. That's not going to be taken away from believers. That is imputed from righteousness to your plus R. There's nothing you can do to get rid of your plus R. There's nothing you can do to get rid of your logistical supply. That's Matthew 6, by the way. We studied that. Plus, the guaranteed provision of life support produces a sustained courage, a sustained courage. You don't have to be afraid. If God's going to take care of you and supply all your needs for both life and godliness, what can the world do to you? The world can do nothing to you. You are encapsulated in the plan of God. You do not need to be afraid. The world is going to kill you. But you get out alive. That makes sense to anybody here? The world is going to kill you, but you get out alive. You have sustained courage toward life and circumstances. Now here's our next formula. SC slash G. That is sustained confidence in God. Plus PG slash R. Plus LG slash R equals SC slash L and C. SC slash G plus PG slash R plus LG slash R equals SC slash L and C. What does it mean? The same confidence in God plus the plan of God rationale. You are in the plan. He has a purpose for your life. Plus logistical grace rationale. He has pledged to keep you alive. Whether you're in the Hornada or not, He has pledged to keep you alive. Logistical grace rationale. All of that sustains your confidence toward life and circumstances. It will sustain your confidence toward life and circumstances. It will sustain your courage toward life and circumstances. And it's this courage that you need to keep going. You need the courage. And that's how you build it. And notice that's the end of the constellation. I mean, you're down at the end before you've got this sustained courage. So, sub-point four, from this complex constellation emerges a very simple, logical conclusion. I will stand fast and watch the deliverance of the Lord here today. Point 30. We have gone from a very complex problem to a simple, temporary orientation and adjustment. We've gone from a very complex problem to a simple, temporary orientation and adjustment. That's the promise. To a very complex set of problem-solving devices, those are the doctrines we've noted, to a very simple, logical conclusion. Now, you don't get to the simple conclusion without going through the process, without going through the system. And fear is not going to get you there. Fear does not do this. Fear shuts down thought. There's no thought in emotion. So what do you have to do? You have to get rid of the fear. The problem is complex. It takes too much time to deal with it. How many of you have problems waiting for you at work tomorrow? And they are complex. Are you going to sleep tonight? See, I've been there. I know you don't. No, I don't sleep tonight. I've been there. Because it is so complex and there's so much to do, and you don't know if all you've done is in place yet, and you know that there are people depending on you, your job may even ride on it, and so you show up at work tomorrow and you are dumbstruck with fear that this whole deal is going to fall through, that you've been assigned. And you've done your duty best you know how. I mean, you just don't know. It's complex. So how do you go to work tomorrow and not be broke out in a cold sweat when you walk in the office? You got to find you a promise pertinent to this thing. Then you work through your rationale. Then you reach a logical conclusion. They're not going to kill me. I'm going to survive this. They're not going to kill me. Any number of other rationales you could logically come up with based on your particular circumstance. So we go from the complex to the simple, from the simple to the complex, from the complex to the simple. 31. In the end, what is it we wind up doing? After all of this is over, what do we actually wind up doing? Winds up, we don't do anything. Went through all this morning, and my final comment to you almost, we're not quite done, my final comment to you is, we don't do anything. We don't do anything. Better leave it alone. Lots of folks get real upset with comments like that. No, you've got to help Jesus. No, doesn't need any help. Omnipotent. We do nothing while God does everything. Now, why is that? Point 32. Because He said He'd take care of the problem. He said He'd take care of the problem, and He's going to take care of it. If we try to help the omnipotent God of the universe solve our complex problem, then it's much like a pilot who doesn't think his jet plane is going fast enough, so he gets out and pushes it. That's what it's like for us to say, well, God, I've got a good human viewpoint idea. I've tried it in the past. I don't really think it's been all that successful, but it beats just sitting around. So I'm going to push this gift. I'm over a very dangerous piece of real estate here, Father. And there's a lot of flack. There's a lot of flack coming up, and I'm in a very vulnerable aircraft, my situation. I don't need any of this pussyfooting around. It's casting business and waiting. It's casting and waiting. I have time for this. You don't realize all of the pressure I'm under. We need to resolve this today. So I'm going to push a little, if you don't mind. 33. You must always remember that no matter how bad things get, no matter how bad things get, you never increase your odds, nor do you improve your circumstances by getting out and pushing the gift. It never helps anything. Fear, human viewpoint, good and evil, none of that ever helps solve the problem. It's like doing nothing. So you may as well do nothing. Claim a promise and let God work for you. That's what you might as well do, because doing what you do simply exacerbates the problem. Now, if the jet gets pushed, by the way, if the jet gets pushed, it's got to be done by somebody else. And that somebody else, that jet pusher person, has got to be God himself. 34. The article that I now want to bring you, but do not have time. So our illustration will have to be left until probably Tuesday of next week. For I hope to have a special designed for you for Easter Sunday morning. And then on Tuesday, we'll do the article here that will illustrate the pushing of the jet concept. Now, this article is going to give us an exception to the rule of you shall not push the jet. It will be an exception. It is a very rare one. But nevertheless, it will serve to illustrate my point. And my point is, if your jet gets pushed, somebody else is going to have to do the honors. And we'll see how all that works out a week from Tuesday. Father, we're grateful to you for the privilege of noting these things today. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will take what we've noted and make it real to us, that we can develop a confidence and a courage within our souls, utilizing the doctrine that we know that you are in control of our lives. You have a purpose for it. You have a sequence of things we need to do in order to get organized, and then you will take care of the details. May this be a motivation and an encouragement for us not to be dissuaded by the exigencies of our daily hornados, but that we might be motivated by the knowledge that you have already solved the problem. We're grateful to you for a system which makes this possible for us to enjoy as we ride the crest of the wave of history, as we look around us and find great chaos and confusion. We can have order within our souls. We can have great confidence and courage, and we can therefore enjoy our relationship with you as we seek to honor Jesus Christ and to magnify your word. And we lift all of our prayers in the name of Christ, our Savior. Kares human kai reine. Placing Thia in Epinosai, Tisei Chai Iesu, Tikuyu Himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of our knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. You're dismissed.